Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell along with Carver High and Coach Zim in the five hole. Coach Zim in for Mafia, who's off gallivanting off the grid in another country far away from here. So I've been in contact with him, though. Because I give him all the picks, and then he posts them all on the site. So, by the way, get the I Am Scott Pharrell app. It's got everything to do with the show, all the interviews, all the videos, Pharrellavision, chat room, tweets, social media, Facebook. It's got it all. Just search the I Am Scott Pharrell app in the App Store. I think you'll dig it. And all the picks are on there and the fantasy rosters. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices, every day, 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. We put a podcast out after every show on Twitter at OnTheBenchCBS and at Scott Pharrell. We also put it on TheBenchCBS.com and on Facebook.com/PharrellOnTheBench. And don't forget, later tonight, between like around 1:30 and 2 a.m. in that window, East Coast time, the new Snapchat, Pharrell on Bench. Very interesting tonight as we'll go back into 60s and 70s-esque type no color. Carver High, we're going back to black and white. No HD, no color, none of that. None of the fancy things in modern day life. We're going back in time to no color smoke shows. See if we can get people fired up. I think we'll still be very successful. I have seen the action that we're going to post tonight, and it is tremendous.
Yeah, it's worth the price of admission.
Tremendous. Snapchat, follow us. One word, Pharrell on Bench. Also, Instagram, we do a terrible job with. It's On The Bench CBS on Instagram.
You should follow it now because it gets utilized a lot when we're in Vegas.
Yeah. And I've been putting things on it once every 2 weeks, which is not good enough, according to our friend Richard Wilk in Vegas at the D. We'll be at the D the week of January 29th for the entire week doing shows at the second floor View Bar, V-U-E. View Bar, second floor every night, 7 Vegas time, 10 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio, an entire week of shows in Vegas. Leading up to the Super Bowl, February 4th, the Bash is February 4th at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center right across the street from the D. There'll be William Hill kiosks set up for in-game betting, and all of your betting needs will be set up right there in the valet lobby. They have basically the William Hill Sportsbook sets up a sportsbook in the lobby. It's fantastic. So you walk across the street, you bet on everything. You can do everything like you were in the sports book. And then you go outside and there's this gigantic bash filled with everything you can possibly imagine. Yeah, you should do bet. And a lot of hotties. So it is happening. You're going to want to be there, Vegas, February 4th for that bash. The week of January 29th, 5 shows live. So there you go. Also, don't forget February 24th, which is a little bit down the road, but very important date. Carver High having a live show in New York City on 14th Street at the Offsides Tavern for his hockey show, the Aisle Seat Podcast, doing a live show at 6 p.m. Eastern right there on 14th Street at the Offsides. You can watch the show live with him and B-Comp, and then watch the Islanders play the Devils at the Rock on the television sets in the bar while you're getting hammered. The next day, Carver High will go on an international cruise with everyone from his family all over the Atlantic Ocean. So that's February 24th, that hockey show and bash. Does that cover everything? I think it really does cover everything.
I think you touched all the bases.
All right. The Yankees and GM Brian Cashman are finalizing a 5-year, $25 million extension for the GM. Are you okay with that? I mean, you're not okay with anything else.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Fine with the GM getting a new deal for $25 million?
Yeah.
$5 million a year?
Let me see this Stanton deal. I just don't believe they need him. Let me see what they give up. Let me see how much money they're giving.
And you'll be, you think they'll regret it because of the years left with him?
He's got a lot of years. Before this year, he's hurt all the time. And it gives them two of the same exact player in their lineup. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
All right. I don't even think they'll get him. I think this is a drummed up media story. How everyone's going to the Yankees. Every player in the world. Wasn't Ohtani going to the Yankees?
In the last 2 hours, the smoke is really starting to fly. So,
but remember, Ohtani was coming to the Yankees too.
Well, that was just silly.
I mean, everyone's coming to the Yankees. Everyone. Bryce Harper, Machado, Mike Trout. They're all coming to the Yankees, right? That's what the media does.
No, I don't think it's at that level anymore.
No, it's just no one's coming to the Yankees.
Ohtani didn't want to play in a big market.
He didn't want to play in a big market, but he's playing in Los Angeles, otherwise known as Anaheim. They don't want to admit it's Anaheim in Orange County, because it's not L.A. It's Anaheim. It's Orange County. That's where it is. I used to live there. Thanks. I don't need geographic lessons. Speaking of which, the fires in Southern California are raging out of control. I feel horrible for everybody that's dealing with that, all those people that have lost their homes, all the firefighters, all the just chaos. I hope everybody's okay. Just a terrible scene out in Southern California with those fires and those Santa Ana winds just blowing those embers everywhere, and fires just breaking out everywhere, and homes and everything else, businesses burning to the ground, people losing everything. It's crazy. The fires are just insane. And they're out of control, and I feel horrible for everybody out there. I hope everybody's hanging in there. Our thoughts are with you, at the very least. So here we are in the Billy Idol Hour of Love, taking your calls. Chuck in Knoxville, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, I can't believe somebody from Bama called you and asked you if Alabama had a chance against Clemson. That's crazy. I think Bama will take them. When's the last time Saban lost two games?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, give that guy a month to prepare for a game, and he's a very dangerous customer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I just can't believe that. It's crazy. What do you think about Jeremy Pruitt coming to Tennessee, coach?
Well, I mean, listen, I know he's a really good assistant coach, and he's been doing a great job for Saban down there. And like everybody in Alabama, at Alabama, certainly knows what he's capable of, and he's certainly done great work there. But I think that nobody else knows who he is. I don't actually believe people in Knoxville know who he is. I mean, now they do because he got the job, so they're gonna have to get to know him. But I think that, you know, he's like the ninth or tenth guy that they wanted. So I always have a problem with that when you're the, you know, you're just not the guy they wanted. You're the guy they got. Instead of getting what you wanted, you got something that you just had to deal with because nobody else wanted the job. I think that's problematic for me. I think that this is clearly a case of they're scraping the bottom of the barrel to get a coach. I hate to say it. It doesn't bode well or... it doesn't look good on Pruitt because he doesn't deserve this. He doesn't deserve to be talked about like he doesn't matter, that he's not good enough, because he got the job. So I'm sure he's ecstatic, and his family and his payroll for his family just got enormous compared to what he was doing. I know he was a highly paid assistant at Alabama. I know he did well there. He's been, you know, climbing the ladder there fiscally for the last few years. But now he's going to make the real fat coin, and I think – that's great for him. Congratulations, because really that's what it's all about, and to be the man and to be in charge and to be the head coach. So that's, I'm sure, what he always wanted. So congratulations to him. I have a hard time digesting it as far as if I'm a Tennessee fan. I, you know, this is, you know, difficult for me to believe. I already said it 50 times. I'd rather have Mike Leach. I'd rather have Lane Kiffin. You know, I hate to say it. I know Lane Kiffin's not going back to Knoxville ever. That's not happening. But listen, Mike Leach, Oregon, or, you know, if they would have gone after Leach or Lane Kiffin, I think it would have made a lot of sense. Tennessee at one point, right? Weren't we talking about Mike Leach? And then the Tennessee administration didn't want any part of him. Then they fired Curry, and the whole thing was a disaster and just a bloodletting. So I think they screwed up with that one because, I mean, they would have scored so many points in Knoxville. Those fans would have been dancing at Neyland. They would have been going crazy. They would have loved it. The fireworks that would go on there on Saturdays would be like, you know, nothing they'd ever seen before. I think now here's a guy that's a defensive coach, and I think it's just going to be different. I think the Tennessee fans want points and scoring and blowouts and wins and excitement and touchdowns. They're going to have clampdown defense. That's the kind of football they're going to play. Look, Alabama's defense is always good, so you got a good coach that can coach defense, and I think he needs to put good people around him that can put points on the board. The problem I had with Tennessee football is that they just don't matter anymore, and they don't score enough, and they don't win. And the games they played this year in the SEC were embarrassing. I mean, they couldn't even score. So you go out and get a defensive coach. They were bad on both sides of the ball, but they couldn't score. They're terrible, right? So I don't get it. Everyone's all excited, and I think it's leaves a really bad taste in my mouth if I'm a Tennessee fan that this is what we end up with when we could have had this, this, or this. You guys all lynch mobbed the first guy, Schiano. He did a great job at Rutgers. He really did turn that program around, and it was an absolute landfill when he took that over. You talk about a carcass. That was like vultures flying over, and it's back to being that now in the Big Ten. He's the only guy that ever won there or did anything there or had any success there at all, recruiting or otherwise. So you didn't want him. You didn't want anybody. You're absolutely unpleasable. That's all there is to it. Like, at this point, don't you just shut up and have a sip of whiskey and just shut your fat mouth and let the guy coach? Because you've ruined everything else. The program's a laughing stock of college football now. Are they not? I mean, this has been the biggest joke I've ever seen of a coach search in, I think, any sport in at the college level that I've seen in, I don't know, 15, 20 years. Have you ever seen anything worse than this or anything mishandled like this before? Like at this level? For an SEC school that's got a football reputation, it's in the toilet now. So, Christ, anything the guy does will be good. If he wins a game, it'll be good. Because, I mean, you guys are just getting mocked every day by everyone. I mean, and then you got all these geniuses on the radio and television that think they're experts and that think they know everything and who they should hire, and you don't like this guy, you don't like that guy, or you went to school there, or you're a Tennessee expert or anything. Shut up. Just shut up. If they wanted your opinion, you'd be running the athletic program, wouldn't you? Instead of being on TV or being on the radio or whatever, why aren't you running it? All these geniuses that you heard Brando talking about, him, Travis, and all the rest of them. You know the deal. So you made your bed now in Knoxville, lie in it. There you go. You got your coach finally. It only took 10 guys. What a joke, honestly. How does the guy even have a chance to succeed? You know what? From my standpoint, he wins at the end of the day because he got all the money. He got the money. It doesn't even matter what he does there. He got the money. So he got the money, and he's the head coach. And if you don't like it, go root for Georgia or something. You know what I mean? Maybe Florida. You could become a Florida fan because you obviously nothing pleases you in Knoxville as it is now. I mean, you're unpleasable. Don't even tell me I'm wrong. I've said a million times that it's a great football school, a great school to go to, a great place to be, campus. I'd love my kid to go to college there. But you guys have ruined the football program. So look at yourselves in the mirror at the disaster you've created at Neyland. Honestly, I mean, you're not happy with anything. And then the funny thing is you think you should win every game you play, and you guys can't even win a game. I mean, that matters, right? Who do you guys beat anymore besides no one? I mean, you're a joke. I mean, you could have this could have been solved a long time ago, and you let it turn into this. So congratulations. Merry Christmas.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. Don't forget, week 14, Pain Day, great games, Oakland, Kansas City, Dallas, and the G-Men, Minnesota, Carolina, Washington, and the Bolts, Seattle, and Jacksonville, Philly, and the Rams. Sunday night, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Monday night, New England, Miami. I actually had some asshat call in here tonight and say my picks suck. Yeah, last week in college football, 80% of my bets hit. And on Sunday, I was 21-9 in NFL bets. I mean, I suck so bad at picking games. What you should do is don't use them, honestly. Don't use mine. Use yours. While everyone over here is making all kinds of money, you use yours. And then tell all your friends how bad I suck as I'm winning all the money. Okay? We'll win all the money, and then you can tell all your friends that you think you're cool. And then I'll smack you in the face with stacks of cash. How does that sound, Carver High? Face slapping with stacks of cash.
Sounds fun.
Thank you. PharrellOnTheBench.com, where you can face slap with stacks of cash. Every game, every day, every sport, NBA, NHL. You got college rack, boxing, MMA, daily fantasy rosters. It's the greatest thing ever invented. It's more important than oxygen. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. All right. The Zoffinator is calling from Akron, outside of Stowe, Ohio. Check out.
Shake it up, Scotty. What's up, man? Can I get a beer real quick?
Can we get him a beverage?
Idle hour of flow.
He's very, very excited and needs a beverage.
I want to give a shout-out to Joe in Houston, Mac and Jax, you know, some of the regular guys, Mike and Hilton Head. Shout-out to Rick. My head is big as Baker Mayfield's ego. Head Haro.
Big Head Haro.
Yeah, love Rick.
Getting some love on 1230 in West Palm tonight, driving in his Beamer.
Yeah, cracking that king crab.
That's right, son.
Before I talk about the NBA, how soft it is, you and Carver High, shout out to Carver High. You guys got a pick for that Manchester Derby on Sunday, United versus City?
You know, Carver High is going to chime in right now.
I actually do, Zoffinator, and it's always good talking to you, brother. I like Man U this weekend. What do you think about that, Zoff?
Well, you know, I'm a Liverpool guy, so I need City to lose some points this weekend.
I hear you, my man.
But, yeah, my original call is, like, you know, the NBA, dude, nowadays, you know, I loved it in the 90s when people actually hated each other's guts, like Embiid and Simmons, you know. I love them guys, but they was talking about how they was going to smash Lonzo Ball. And then when they come to the arena the other night, they're taking pictures with LeVar Ball. And
yeah,
that
was
crap.
Pathetic.
It's just soft, man. I just don't like to see that. I like to see real feuds, man. What's up with that, Scotty?
Well, I that's fine. I hope there are feuds and hatred like the Westbrook and KD stuff. I'm all for it and everything. But there was never and hasn't been anything like the Celtics-Lakers back in the day, for sure, and the Pistons and Bulls and all the rest. There just isn't that anymore. But listen, I'm not going to deny that I still love watching NBA rack. Every night, I watched a good game tonight, the Celtics and Spurs, and I watched the Pistons game tonight. I thought that was good because, Durant was lighting it up and dishing and rebounding and finishing, and they had a perfect road trip. So, look, there are really good teams that you can watch and enjoy. There's even bad teams that are, you know, watchable, that cover, that get into games, like Brooklyn, Dallas. They get into games. I like watching Simmons and Embiid. I don't have a problem with the league, but I'm not going to disagree with you that it's not what it used to be. But it is what it is. It's cyclical. But I'm still watching NBA games every night of the week. Have a good weekend, brother. I still watch it all. I watch NBA. Every game that's on, I watch. I got my kid screaming and yelling at me. He wants the package so he can watch every game. Lakers, he wants to watch. Those start at 10:30. I actually had some tool in here the other night. Who said it to me, Carver? Please tell me it wasn't you. Who was the guy? It was Berman. How about this Berman guy coming in here last night saying that he doesn't like 10 o'clock starts in any sporting event. Like, go home to your wife.
There's only one reason.
Just go home to your wife and listen to her tell you to iron or do the laundry or take the trash out. No one tells me what to watch at 10 o'clock. Are you kidding me? You don't watch 10 o'clock sporting event starts? I watch 10, 10:30, midnight, 1 a.m. Tonight there's a game starting at 1 a.m. Fast is going to be in here watching TCU with me at 1 a.m.
I'll tell you this.
What do I care about those candy-ass pansies that don't want to watch sports at 10 o'clock? Go to bed then there. What are those binkies? Get your binky and sit in bed with your baby and cry yourself to sleep. You don't watch late-night West Coast sports, you femme.
If he was at home, he would watch.
Whatever. He came in here and said he doesn't like 10 o'clock sporting events. I'm like,
when
what?
He's here.
Shut up. Shut up. I love Berman to death, but shut up. Are you kidding me? If it wasn't for 10 o'clock sporting events, I'd have to sit and listen to my wife. She's cool and everything, but don't interfere with my sports viewing. Stay out of the room. I'm busy. I'm gambling in here. I don't have time for people that don't watch sports after 10 o'clock. What do you watch? Oh, Dancing with the Femmes. I get it. America's Got Hack Talent. Oh, The Voice. I can't get enough of these sissy shows. You heard me. Am I loud and clear enough, Carver High?
I just don't watch it.
Violence.
Primetime television, clearly. You've made your case.
How about all these people this week crying to me about the violence in the Steeler-Bengal game? Oh, my God. This one came in here tonight saying it, too. It was an awful game. Too many guys were getting hit.
It's not exactly what I said.
What did you say?
I said it was rough to watch that kind of violence. I mean,
why? I thought it was normal. They hate each other's guts. Every time they play, they do it to each other.
Well, because there's a difference between a hard-hitting game and guys leading with their heads and guys leaving the field.
But the guy that led with his head and targeted, he had his suspension dropped.
Well,
so they got no problem if a guy takes his head off.
I mean,
he should have been suspended and fined both, no questions asked.
Of course.
They let him go. But then they fined the jack shot. Schuster shot was a jack shot with a guy, the dirtiest guy in the league, Somebody finally got retribution on him when he wasn't looking. You know what they say in the NHL? Keep your head down, see what happens to you.
Yeah.
That's what happened to Perfect. Everyone says that was the cheapest shot. He got lit up with his head down is what happened.
But with Juju, too, was as much about what he did after the hit, obviously standing
over
him.
I have a problem with. I don't have a problem with the hit. The guy wasn't looking. You got lit up.
I'm just saying that's as much of the reason for the suspension as the hit itself.
Well, that's obvious.
Not more.
That's obvious. So I agree with that. But I have no problem with the game. I had no problem with it. And you know what happens? Same thing as always. Steelers win, and the Bengals suck on their lollipops like they always do, the losers that they are. They never win anything, ever. That's it. Blame me all you want. Oh, the guy on the radio. I hate that gravelly. You lose, and your girlfriend's fat. Shut up. You lose. Go to bed. Here, I'm taking your cigars, too. You don't deserve to smoke them.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, let's go to Jared in California. I think he's a firefighter in SoCal battling these just atrocious fires. And just so you know, I lived out there for 10 years. I love Southern California. Everybody knows I love Miami and SoCal, Huntington Beach. I know Ventura. I know where all the fires are. I know the area very well. I live there. I worked there. I did the show there for a long decade in my career. So I'm thinking about everybody out there. I love it there. I just feel terrible about what's happening, and it's just awful. Jared, how's it going, dude?
Yeah, well, pretty good, man. And this is the reason I'm calling, because, you know, it's the first time I've ever called a radio show. And I love sports radio, man. You're my favorite. I'm losing baby.
Right, I'm losing you, bro. Your phone sounds terrible. If you could try again up by the phone, I'm having trouble hearing you.
All right, man, my bad.
That sounds good right there.
All right, man. I just want to say thank you, man. You're the first radio show I've heard mention the Southern California fires, man. As soon as you brought up Anaheim, you went straight to the California fires, and you were supportive, and it means a lot to all of us, man. I mean, We're out here listening to you, keeping us up, man, keeping the smiles on the faces when there's nothing to smile about, baby. And I just want to say thank you so much.
Yeah, it's crazy. You guys are pulling 24 and 48-hour shifts. I've been following it. It's a disaster. The Santa Anas are killing you guys. It's just insanity. I feel terrible. You guys are badasses. I don't know what people would do without you. You guys are freaks and just the toughest of the tough. And you're like, to me, you're no different than dudes serving in the middle of a war and wherever, Afghanistan or anywhere. You guys are fighting a fight like people have no idea the danger, the heat. The cost of life in those situations and what happens to your bodies and your lungs. And you guys are the toughest Mother Farrellers on the face of the earth. You're badasses in my book. And I don't even know, like, I have no idea. Like, it's so crazy. I can't even bring, like, God into it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, praying for everybody. I'm not – listen, that's great. I support everyone praying for you guys. But you guys are badasses, and the fight you're putting on against those fires is the most courageous thing I've ever seen in my life. You guys are nuts, and you're sick in the head, and you're the toughest of the tough, and I respect you guys fully.
Where you are right now, it's so hard out there. I mean – You can't hike people in because the canyons are so nuts. You got to fly crews in, but you can't fly them in because the winds are so crazy.
Crazy.
You drop them off, and they can't come back and pick them up.
And then you guys don't.
The planes can't drop any retardant because then the wind just picks it up and takes it wherever.
Right. I've seen everything, like all the embers flying with the 40-mile-an-hour winds. It blows, and then something else catches on fire. Everybody's losing their homes, businesses. It's the saddest thing I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like that. When I lived there for 10 years, I never saw anything like that. I saw a couple fires, but I've never seen a fire like this that's so out of control. Like the one when I saw on the 405 the other day where people, it was like a scene out of a movie watching those people driving to work on the other day with those fires in the hills. I mean, it's just crazy. So I don't even know how you guys deal with it. I've heard it could go on until past Christmas and New Year's. That's how out of control it is. I don't even know how you guys are going to do it.
It's nuts, man. I mean, Jay, I just want to say thanks for your support, brother.
Yeah, man. All the best, dude. We're thinking about you for sure, bro. Thanks for doing what you do.
And one more thing. I'm listening to you on KHTK 1140, baby, not on KMBR.
That's what I'm talking about, brother. I love that. Out of Sacramento. They come down to help fight the fights and fires. And I hope they get in a fist fight with someone they don't like while they're there. You know, like maybe a Laker fan or something. Or, you know the whole deal. The San Francisco and Sacramento, they don't like L.A. They don't like those people. So fight the fire, and then, like, when you get a minute or two off, you could go, like, have a sandwich and a beer and then beat up someone that, you know, from the area that, you know, you don't like. Maybe a Dodger fan or something. But more like a Laker fan because you're a King fan. I think they actually pulled off an upset tonight, didn't they? Didn't they beat New Orleans on the road, the Kings? Am I wrong about that?
I believe they did.
They did 116-109. How about that in overtime? I got to tell you, I had this giant country chicken and mashed potatoes with corn thing that I just ate, this awful frozen dinner that was kick-ass. And I can't even begin to tell you the burping that's going on inside my trachea right now. Choking to death. Dunk in Massachusetts off the hub. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Yo.
Hey, Scotty, what's going on?
Hey, Dunk.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you about the college football playoffs because we haven't talked about the championship matchup too much. Who
right.
do you like for the two winners, and who do you like for the championship? And I tell you what, it's Friday night. Give me a drink and shake it.
Oh, shake it. Get him a drink. You know, obviously, I put all those picks up, and I think the games are going to be great. I wish they were different. I wish, you know, Oklahoma was playing Clemson, and I wish Alabama was playing Georgia. But then again, we've seen that before, right? So I then flip it the other way. I wish Alabama was playing Oklahoma and Georgia was playing Clemson so that I could see Alabama play Clemson for the championship because I actually think they're the two best teams. And I think it's unfortunate, that's just me, that they're playing in the semifinal. Do you have a problem with that, Carver High? Do you think they got the wrong semis?
Well, no, they didn't, because Alabama, they should be four. It's just unfortunate that the two best teams are playing each other, but they did, once again, I go back to this, they didn't even make their championship game. Like, I get it, you know, they were one of the four best teams, but...
You're gonna
put them two or three ahead of those two teams that actually. I mean, Georgia won the conference that Alabama plays in. I can't put them behind them in the ranking. I just can't do it.
But at this point, when they're in the four, doesn't it behoove them to have a good game, so that the championship's the best game, not the semifinal? I think that Clemson-Alabama game's the championship game.
I think that they have a chance to have a really good final. Is it going to be – who knows? Is it going to be as good as Clemson-Alabama the last 2 years? That's going to be really hard to live up to because those two games were unbelievable.
I actually think it will be.
You know, but I think that they have opportunities to get a good matchup in the title game. I mean, I think Oklahoma-Clemson could be a good game. You know, Oklahoma-Bama, maybe. I think that there's opportunities there.
So you got Oklahoma winning?
I do, actually.
All right. But, Chuck in, but what? Hold on.
But
what?
Georgia-Alabama, you know, would that be great? Two SEC teams in the final?
Oh, God.
Probably not.
Spare me.
But would you get excited Georgia-Clemson?
I'm okay with that.
I think that'd be a good game.
Chuck, I think Clemson will beat their ass. How's that sound? Chuck in Detroit.
Hey, Pharrell, how you doing?
What's up, dude? My man.
Well, you listen, it's funny you guys talking about college football. This is exactly where I'm going with it. I want to know what you think about Harbaugh. He was supposed to come here to Michigan. You know, I'm a Detroit guy, and you know, we love our Wolverines, and we've been waiting for a savior, and we thought we got one. And guess what? We can't beat even one of our rivals. No, we can't even beat Michigan State. Is he the real deal or not?
Yeah, I think one of the things is that it's so easy to blame him for beating the rivals, and that's fair enough. There's no arguing here that he hasn't come through yet in that facet. But I think that there's potential for that to turn around. I actually like – this is me. I like the fact that he's fighting with D'Antonio and that they don't like each other. And I guarantee you he tosses and turns at night with the thought of – Urban Meyer sitting at the end of his bed eating potato chips with his wife. I'm telling you, these people, he doesn't like either one of them. And he wants to win worse than anybody. It just hasn't happened. Now, my thing is that if you really look into it more in depth, the bottom line is that, you know, still at any level, Michigan is back on the national landscape in a big way. I think that there was some lean years there where they didn't matter anymore. Fair enough. And then I think he brought them back to relevance. And I think that they're right where they want to be. I think they're on the precipice of being able to win 10 or 11 games. I think that they haven't got there yet. I think that it's easier said than done. I think fans there, because there's so many of them and it's such a gigantic fan base, I think that they demand, as I said about Tennessee fans, and the same with Penn State fans, they all think they should win every single game every single year because they're drunk idiots. And that's all there is to it. They tailgate, they get drunk, and they think they should win every game by 40 points. And that's not the way the world works. Even Alabama can't do it. Even Auburn, all of them. It's just... it's as hard as getting around rush hour traffic, okay? So it doesn't matter where you live, in a big city or otherwise, rush hour means you're sitting in traffic. Same thing in college football. You can't win every game. It's so hard. And if you do it, it's miraculous. It's unbelievable. Everybody rants and raves about you. But I think Harbaugh, here's the point I'm trying to make. Who's going to do better than him? There are coaches being hired left and right that you've never heard of. All of these wannabe hack, no-name coaches that are getting these big jobs, not one of them is a better coach than Jim Harbaugh. Trust me, you. I mean, You can slam him until the cows come home, but you're not going to find a better, more dedicated coach that cares more or that works harder than him at his craft. The guy is busting his ass in Ann Arbor trying to make Michigan great again, and I think he reminds me a lot of Schembechler, and I think that he's, you know, missing a couple of nuts and bolts here or there in the cog, but I think the wheel is moving in the right direction. I think it's, you know, they got work to do. They got some problems. But I think that if anyone's going to solve it, it'll be him. Now, you guys have tried all these different guys, and you've been through the Lloyd Carrs, and you've been through the Cokes and all the rest. Listen, you can't just keep changing all the time. Have some continuity, like the days of Schembechler, and just stick with him. And I actually believe he'll bring you to the promised land one of these years. I believe in the next, I'll say, 4 years, three to four years. Now, I know you don't have that much patience in Detroit or in Ann Arbor, but I think in the next 3 or 4 years, Carver, are you willing to go there with me, that they could be in the playoff?
Yes.
I think they should be in the playoff one of these years. I think they should win the Big Ten, beat Ohio State, and play for a national championship. I believe that. And it's happened before where they won a national championship, so I don't want to hear it. I think he can take them there. I believe in him. I think he's a great coach, and I think that people don't realize, no one realizes really, you have to give him a break. It is so brutally hard to win all these games and win these big games and win these championships. It is so hard. You'll die trying. So, and there's a lot of teams that are really good that you have to beat to get there, so you just don't even know what you're talking about. Give the guy a break.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.